Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
On this episode of the Fieldhouse Files, I'm joined by Bob Kravitz, our columnist, to discuss the Indiana Sports Hall of Fame that we made up on The Athletic. Who got in? Who was just left out? Plus, we'll get into sports, what differences we might see when sports return, and should the NFL be holding its draft later this month? Today's episode of the Fieldhouse Files is brought to you by Remarkably Remote, a new daily microcast from the experts at GoToMeeting, all about making work from home work for you. With indispensable intel on how to stay sane, motivated, and productive at home, we're here to help you in this brave new remote working world. Find us on smart speakers or subscribe on your favorite podcasting app. You can also listen at gotomeeting.com/tips. That's gotomeeting.com/tips. And welcome into another episode of the Fieldhouse Files. I'm Scott Agnes. Well, we're currently in a strange, odd reality that we're all navigating at home and without sports, but we're still producing hundreds of stories each week over on The Athletic. Most recently, I wrote about the top five games of the season. That was hard to do. I even had an honorable mention of about 5 to 7 games because there were so many good ones to choose from among their 39 wins. I also wrote about how Victor Oladipo, using his platform, his voice, to spread the message of social distancing, and what a potential first-round matchup would look like against the Miami Heat. I'd be down for that series, both because these two teams are rising up the ranks in the Eastern Conference. I will not say no to a trip down to Miami, and I think it would be really good back-and-forth series that'd probably go, 6 or 7 games. Now, to help get you through some of this boredom and time you have to fill, we're currently running a promotion at The Athletic where right now you can get 90 days free, or better yet, you can sign up at theathletic.com/fieldhousefiles and get a subscription 40% off the annual price. That's just $36 for the first year. I know it's tough and unusual time right now, but we'll get through it. And one of the projects we did was get together to create an Indiana Sports Hall of Fame. So our Indiana staff brainstormed individuals on our Slack channels, kind of deciding and parsing through the eligible candidates, at least in our mind. And then Bob Kravitz made the final call and wrote the story, which you can see now live. So to discuss that story and how he arrived at the inaugural class of 15, let's bring in Kravy. Bob, how have you been doing?
Oh, I'm just so busy sitting on my couch watching CNN, getting depressed. Doing a little work here and there, but it's been a challenge, I think, for all of us, at least in our goofy little business. We're sports writers with no sports, so we're writing about the Indiana Hall of Fame that we've made up out of whole cloth.
Because we can do that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Why not?
Exactly. We're showing how creative we can be as writers and editors without, you know, games and things going on outside of the NFL. So it's been a challenge, but it's, I see our staff really rising to that challenge.
Yeah, there is that, but you also are like, all right, how much longer, right, is this going to go on? A couple months, very doable. But say if it goes into the summer, that's not something I want to figure out or have to see happen.
How about a couple of weeks and then you're,
We're already 1 month down.
Yeah, we are 1 month, aren't we? Oh, good for us. No, the way I look at it, though, Scott, is that, you know, I mean, look, this stinks, obviously, for everybody, especially the businesses in our town and certainly for the people who've contracted the disease. But, you know, in World War II, people sacrificed their lives, you know, in a global conflict. This time around, all we're doing, our big sacrifice, is watching Netflix, eating popcorn, and sitting on the couch. So I think we're up to it. I think as a country, we're up to it. And compared to other situations throughout history, this is not as bad as some other things, you know, would be.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But for us that geek out on sports every night, I didn't want to learn what it was like to be those that at 9 o'clock wonder, should I go to bed or throw on another episode, right?
Well, look, you know, I'm married. My wife wants to watch The Voice, you know, or whatever, yeah. The Bachelor. And I'm used to going back and forth between the hockey game or a basketball game and The Voice and her, you know, saying, hey, commercial's over, get back to The Voice. So, I do miss that little piece of normalcy. And, nothing is normal anymore.
No, you're right about that. So what we did was concoct our own Indiana Sports Hall of Fame, and we wanted to open it up. Fairly open criteria in terms of you know what would make you eligible, but mainly is we wanted you to be an athlete here in Indiana for a big part of your career. I guess break down for us what went into your thinking behind this.
Well, the way I looked at it, I wanted you either needed to be born here and go on to have a great career like Larry Bird. I'm sitting there thinking Larry Bird did most of his great work in Boston. But how does he not make an Indiana Hall of Fame? So I said, you know, if you're born here or if you've done, most of your great work here, a Peyton Manning, a Reggie Miller, even though they're from different places. So that was my cockamamie criteria as I went along. And, I'm pretty happy with the first ballot. As you get deeper into it, there's certainly more room for argument, but I think our top five is pretty solid.
Very solid. When you're talking about the Big O, Peyton, Wooden, Larry, Slick. Notice something for those, I just used one name and you already know exactly who I'm talking of. And I think that kind of represents and suggests kind of their importance. I think the only other two that maybe could have been in that list would have been Bob Knight and Reggie Miller. Outside of that, I don't think there's any challenges, but it's hard to argue against the five that you listed out there.
Right. Now, a lot of people have said, you know, how can you not have Knight when you had, you know, why would you go with Slick instead of Knight? And that was a tough one for me. But I look at Slick, to me, he's the consummate, iconic Hoosier. Yeah. Growing up in Terre Haute, being a great star player out there, going to IU, hitting the free throws that won the 53 title. Winning three titles with the ABA Pacers, you know, and now doing what he's doing on radio. And you know, what he did in 1977 along with Nancy, where they saved the Pacers from being basically sold and moved with their telethon. So I thought that he had a little bit more impact than Bob Knight did.
Yeah, and when you talk about the fact that Slick was basically what he was able to do from all different levels. From here, like you said, went to IU, won a national title, and then has been part of the Pacers in basically every facet of the organization. I think if the Pacers ever got to a point where they did statues, my first one is of Slick and Nancy Leonard together, because without them, there is no Reggie Miller probably in a Pacer uniform, because they had to run that 1977 telethon to keep them in town.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, this is a team that, I mean, they got crushed during the ABA-NBA merger, as did all the ABA teams. They got a really raw deal. And, you know, it put the Pacers behind the eight ball financially in the early years. Slick to me was, I went back and forth a little bit, but I just kept coming back to Slick. And maybe it's a personal thing. I really love the man, but I think he deserves to be a first ballot guy in our made-up Hall of Fame.
I'm right there with you, so I agree, but I enjoy the conversation of their other ideas. And you can also see readers did as well, as you have basically 100 comments in that story. So it's a well-engaged story in terms of what people want to debate back and forth. Of this list, and you have those five we talked about plus 10 more, was there someone that didn't make the list that maybe eats at you now a couple weeks later?
I'm looking at the additional people here.
There's not one for me.
I think Tony Holman, yeah. Even though he was an athlete, is somebody that I would have considered a bit higher. There's a couple of names, but you know, I have the others receiving votes: Marvin Harrison, Holman, Rick Mount, Steve Alford, Skylar Diggins, Stephanie White, whose first name is misspelled. Way to go, Bob. Fuzzy Zeller, Rod Woodson, Big Dog Robinson. I've had people in the sports business throughout Indianapolis sending me texts telling me where I missed and what I got right. Mostly what I missed.
Of course. No, I'm sure, because that's a piece people are reading, and everybody has their own opinions, their own perspective, their own viewpoint on what made an impact probably in their Indiana sports career, and so we're all different in that aspect.
Absolutely.
The one thing I appreciated about this list, and I don't think it was by design, it was just the truth, was the fact that so many sports were represented. And I think back even to IU swimming and Olympic swimming, Lily King and Mark Spitz, because they had incredible careers. And if you talk about Lily King, it was supposed to continue here this summer. But it was not just basketball and football players.
That's exactly right. And that was something that I tried to do. You know, Spitz. I got talked into Spitz mostly because he's a California kid, and you know, but he went to IU, but he made his name in the Olympics, so it was a little tough, but you know, in the end, it made perfect sense. But you know, I wanted to go back through history, and like Ray, I think I've got him in the top 15. Ray Urey, who nobody's ever heard of from Lafayette, who grew up with polio and had braces on his legs for most of his childhood, who went on to become the greatest jumper in all the jumping competitions in the Olympics back in the, I guess, the 30s. You know, Oscar Charleston, a great star in the Negro Leagues. I wanted to try, and I didn't want it to be the people that you know, that you hear about every day. You know, one, I'm looking at the list here, Scott, and I might have gone with Tony Stewart instead of Jeff Gordon, or I might have gone Jeff Gordon / Tony Stewart, which is kind of a cop-out. But I think you could certainly make a very strong case for Tony Stewart, and that was one that I kind of went back and forth on.
Now, I'm curious, the first two people you talked about, I had never heard of, didn't know much about, and you're not from here. So how did you learn their story? Did you just come across them over your years, 20-plus years here as a sports writer? Did you do a lot of research into other star athletes from here? How did you discover these two?
Well, you know, like I did a story about Ray Urey before one of the many Olympics that I've covered. They were doing some kind of memorial for him up in Lafayette, and I decided to do a piece. Oscar Charleston, I'm not a student of Negro League baseball, but I've always been interested in it. You know, I met Buck O'Neill many years ago. I've been to the Negro League Hall of Fame in Kansas City. So I knew of him. You know, one guy I thought about, but it was hard to justify, was Hank Aaron, because Hank Aaron played for the Indianapolis Clowns of the Negro Leagues. But again, he did most of his career, obviously, was in with the Braves, so he didn't quite qualify. But it's one of those things. I love doing stories like this because it does inspire so much conversation. And you're an idiot, and you know what are you thinking? And I'm used to that.
Yeah, no question. One of the things I was curious about, among the contributors I mentioned just as we were brainstorming, was I was thinking about Notre Dame, too, and the great teams they had, whether it was Coach Lou Holtz or Newt Rockne. Why did you...
Newt Rockne. Let me tell you something. I got a text from somebody with the Colts in their front office who gave me all kinds of grief for not putting Newt Rockne in there, and I would say that looking back on it, that was probably a miss on my part. I think Newt Rockne probably deserved a spot in that top 15. I should have made it a top 20. It just made my life easier.
I was going to say go 25, and you'd probably that's probably a fair cutoff where there wouldn't be any arguments at that point.
Right, but I wanted some arguments. I wanted to leave some people out so people could get all exercised about it.
Right. And the one thing I was a little bit surprised was outside of Coach Knight, there was no other IU basketball individual. I guess you could count Slick within that group relatively.
Yeah. No, yeah, I didn't have Alford. I didn't have Calvert Cheney, Scott May. Look, they were all special players, but I was looking for transcendent, you know, and the people I came up with, I think, are transcendent athletes. But again, you can make that argument, certainly, you know, that one of the IU guys. And I didn't mention Gene Cady. Yeah. That got some people upset. You know, I can tell that they're West Lafayette folks. But, you know, if you're comparing Bob Knight and Gene Cady was a great, great coach. But ultimately, you look at the national championships, and on that score, it's 3-0.
Yeah, and on a much minor scale, I thought seriously about Damon Bailey just because of the impact he had, especially almost in high school leading into college and the story that was. But it was such a small stint in time that maybe it wouldn't qualify. But because Indiana basketball, talking high school basketball, is so important to our culture and our community, I thought that one also warranted serious thought.
Well, you just feel that way. No, I think Damon Bailey, in fact, Jason Jenks, just from our staff, just wrote a really good piece about Damon Bailey, went through the archives and came up with some really good stuff. In fact, a couple of days ago was the 30th anniversary of Damon Bailey and Bedford North Lawrence selling out the old dome.
Yeah.
So it's, you could certainly make that argument, but I had a hard time going there.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That was just one of the ones when I think about Indiana sports. He's one of the first ones I point to, too, just because of the icon, I guess. Maybe that's a little bold, but the level of impact he had and the hype that led to his college career, I thought was interesting. Do you think there would ever be a need for an actual, real Indiana Sports Hall of Fame? We have the NCAA here. We have several other sports entities. If we were creating one, maybe you put it in the lobby of Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Would you see any need for that? Would that be fun?
I think that'd be cool. I think it'd be very cool. I mean, you know, I know the Pacers, as you go around Bankers Life, they've got pictures of all the greatest players, both male and female, who've come through Indiana. I think that would be a tremendous idea, just as long as we create a media wing and I get in on the first ballot.
I love it. And there's a beer right next to you. Cheers to the great Bob Kravitz.
That goes without saying, my friend.
In all seriousness, maybe there's something you could do as the Bankers Life Fieldhouse in that area over there. They're concocting, you know, these renovations, and there's supposed to be that outside plaza with a skating rink or basketball court. Maybe there's something small you could work into there. Or I guess it wouldn't be a great place, but the Children's Museum has done something special here recently.
They have. You know, when I go back and think about it, you know, maybe we should have just done Indianapolis Hall of Fame. You know, I don't know. You write it, and then you second guess. You know, that's
of course
how writers are. At least that's how I am. I second guess everything.
Coming to the Athletic on May 1st, the Indianapolis.
Exactly. Well, we're looking for content, aren't we? I mean,
maybe that's the route you go. How? Let me ask you this: if you go that route, how? What changes? Who gets the attention now because of that?
Let's look at my list here. Let me. I got my computer in front of me because I haven't memorized it. Oscar, no question. Peyton, no question. Wooden. See, I mean, he didn't do his stuff in Indianapolis. No, and then Larry Bird wasn't Indianapolis, really.
Right.
You know? So the heck with that. Let's not second guess, and let's make it an Indiana Hall of Fame, because you cannot have any kind of Hall of Fame in this state without John Wooden and Larry Bird.
Yeah.
Just can't.
No, that's a good argument. The three kind of immediate pillars that I think about are Peyton, Reggie, and this is more recent, and then Tamika, and then I would throw whether it's a Tony Holman or someone out at the Speedway as well as part of that group. And that's kind of the core groupings of the last 20 years that have made significant impacts on our local sports.
Yeah. Now one of the hard things was, you know, somebody said, how about AJ Foyt or Rick Mears? Mm-hmm. And yeah, they won a lot of Indy 500s. But that's not where they really forged their careers. I mean, that's probably where they achieved immortality. But, you know, I had a hard time justifying that one as well. But both Gordon and Stewart are Indiana guys, so I was able to make that argument a little more forcefully.
Any last thoughts on this, Krabby? I enjoyed it. I thought it was a fun read, especially in a time where you need something a little bit different.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And that's, not to tell people how the sausage is made, but our whole staff has come together, and we've created a channel where we put crazy ideas. And let me tell you something. Some of these are crazy ideas, but you know what? Sometimes crazy ideas work out, and we all have to really look inside ourselves, and look at our contact list and see who's out there. Like I just talked this morning with Clyde Christensen, who's the quarterback's coach for Tom Brady in Tampa, and you realize that he started out with Peyton Manning, moved on to Andrew Luck. And now he's got Tom Brady. I was joking with him before. I said, weren't you quarterback's coach for Otto Graham as well? Mm. So I thought, we just have to find different interesting stories to do. And I think we're all finding out what a challenge that can be. Because yeah. So much of our lives are really caught up in games and the aftermath of those games. So. Yeah, it's a challenge, but I think we're up to it.
Yeah, those conversations, the reporting, our observations, but yet there's nothing to observe out other than the league's truly having no idea if anything will return and when. So you're left to kind of wait and kind of look back and look ahead as well, because in terms of the Pacers, because it is a Pacers podcast, right now they'd be playing the Heat, and I'd love for that series to happen, and I'd love for some of the regular season to continue, but at this point we just don't know.
Well, let me ask you I know you've seen some of the different plans that they have, but what makes sense? Do you come back when you can come back and then play a few games and then start into the playoffs? I mean, what that seems like it would make the most sense to me, but the season's not going to end until August. And then do you start up again in October? In October. Mm-hmm. I don't really know. Unless you cut the number of games next year, or you just decide, we're going to go into the summer from now on. We'll start in December. We'll finish in August.
Seeing that last point, I think, is an opportunity here for them to perhaps give that a try. I wouldn't mind seeing it for 1 year to see how it shakes out, especially because the concern years and years ago especially was, in the summer you're on vacation, you're on the baseball diamond with your kids, you're traveling, so TVs are off, and so that's why you don't want to play then,
right?
But we all understand that NFL really dominates until through January, and so if the NBA could push back its schedule to the point where they're featured a little bit more and they're the ones leading SportsCenter and leading and the most interested story in sports world, that would be interesting. To me, I think you really need to make all efforts, without putting anybody in jeopardy, to finish the season. We need those end-of-season awards for history. We need a postseason. And I know there's a lot of money concerns that go into it in terms of trying to finish some of the regular season and get all the playoff games you can to make up losses. But at minimum, I would think you could shrink the first two rounds to say best of five, even though they wouldn't want that for money's sake. That would be possible if you need to get games in. But ultimately, what's the point of going through a season and not having a champion? I know this is unique, but if you can finish it out, then you can reshape next season if need be, which will probably be necessary here.
I'm not sure. What are we at? 17 games left? Something like that?
Yep.
Okay. I'm not sure how important it is to get those last 17 games in. I mean, to me, if you can give everybody a 1 or 2 week training camp for guys to get back into condition, play maybe five games, and then say, okay, here's the seeding, this is the way we're going to proceed. I think that would make some sense. But again, a lot of these teams are making, they've got their contracts. They right. make plenty of money, with the gate. At the gate. So, yeah, that's a really tough call. The thing that I'm kind of going back and forth on, I'd be curious to know your thoughts. The NFL is going full speed ahead with everything. Free agency, the draft is in late April. Do you think it's appropriate for the NFL to continue acting, business as usual, or given given what's going on in our country and in our world, is it inappropriate? And I keep going back and forth on that.
As do I. I'm torn because it's so meaningless, let's be honest, in the grand scheme of things. However, how many of us just need something? We need an outlet. We need some reason to smile. We need something to watch, something fresh. So there's a lot of that. But I
normalcy.
Yeah, yeah.
In the worst way.
And hope and something to look forward to, just like this Jordan documentary has done for many. I'm curious how it'll turn out because it didn't seem like Jordan was a very interesting guy off the court. He was an outstanding player, but I'm curious what they're going to make of it in terms of sharing his life and maybe his thoughts as he went through some of his dominant years. But that Jordan doc, that's something all of us sports fans have on our calendars and are eager to see. And of course, being ESPN, they're going to space it out so it lasts over a month, showing two episodes at a time. Generally, Bob, I would say I tend to say the NFL should hold off, but I do understand kind of the outlet that it provides for sports fans. What about you?
Yeah, you know, it's like during free agency, and maybe some of this is pure selfishness on my part. Because when we did have free agency, it gave me something to write about. It gave, you know, the football writers something to write about. So maybe there's a selfish element in it for me, but it seems inappropriate. And at the same time, like you said, we need a slice of normalcy because everything in our world has been turned upside down. And, you know, maybe this is... Maybe this is a good thing. Maybe it's a good thing. I don't know. I'm going to write a column about it, but first I better figure out what the hell I think about it.
The other thing I like about it is the fact that those outstanding scouting staffs, the best evaluators, the most organized, hopefully should be the group that's rewarded the most. And so you'll really see some gaps, I think, a couple teams that just do not hit on players when you're talking about the draft because they needed that face time that they hadn't done the research over the last year. And I think that's something we'll see both in the NFL and NBA draft. They're having to rely on their eyes and videos and things like that and the type of contacts they have because there's no draft combine and those sorts of things in the NBA.
That's exactly right. That's a very good point. You know, we're gonna see who's got their act together and we're gonna find out, you know, who doesn't, basically. I mean, we're just It's such an odd time. I can't say it often enough. You know, our lives have been turned upside down, and you know, I'm inclined to think that go ahead with the NFL draft. You know, give us that normalcy, give us that, you know, sense that there's something in the future for all of us. I don't know. It's one of those things where I need to have a good stiff drink and really think about it.
The other thing, and I think it was Shefty that came out with the idea, if you're going to proceed with it, let's truly make this a week-long event. Why not have a round per night? I'd probably make it easier on these staffs, too, because once you get deeper in the draft, maybe they'd like more time to parse through and make trade calls and do things like that. And one other note, as we're talking about things coming back, let's say the NBA comes back. Let's say it comes back in July. I would love for teams and broadcast partners to enable the broadcast to be a little bit more creative. Maybe you mic up the coach. Maybe you mic up a player and air more of that, not just recordings. Now, there's some risk to it, but I think that would make it really fun if you're playing without crowds, which I think is inevitable if you return.
I think you're right. And, you know, I found myself on one very boring day actually watching a few minutes of the XFL.
So is that today or yesterday?
No, just to see what it looked like. And I'm telling you, you know, the interviews, not the interviews, but, you know, you're basically an interloper on, you know, what's going on with the coach, what's going on with the quarterback. It's really fascinating to hear what's being said on the field or on the sideline. So I would hope they use this opportunity to maybe retool and do some things that make it a little more palatable, you know, despite the fact that we may not have any fans in the stands.
Yeah, putting on my optimistic Frank Vogel hat, that's the thing I'm excited about, is I hope there is four or five different amazing things that come out of this because people had time to sit down and think about it, or they were willing to take chances here during an uncertain time. And so that's what I'm hopeful to see, things like that.
Absolutely. Agreed.
Very good, Kravy. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. So it literally is. So it's time for you to get
it
a cocktail.
It's literally 5 o'clock. Perfect timing.
I love it. Thanks for jumping on. Enjoyed this story and enjoyed talking about it. And we'll talk soon.
All right, buddy. Take care.